able to talk to Paora Crawford Moyle. And of course, she is an advocate for children in state care. And when I heard today that we've still got 4,000 children in state care, I thought, my God, we certainly have got, we've still got some significant issues that are facing this country when that's how we treat our children and our families, just to say, well, the solution is to uplift the children. Kia ora, Paora, lovely to talk with you this evening.
Kia ora, lovely to be here on the show.
Well, look, I mean, I've this morning, you know, we've seen that those youths have come down off the roofs of the facilities, and people are scoffing at them, rather, really. You know, there was the one in Christchurch, this in Auckland. They've actually had three incidences in the last month of young people in these, I call them children's prisons, but of course they call them youth justice facilities. And they're, you know, people are saying, oh, well, you know, what do you expect from these type of kids? Well, you would know that is in the main not really truthful. Then there's, you know, I mean, we know that they're there for a reason, but sometimes is that reason good enough? Because in that facility in Auckland, Paora, they had there was 37 children in that facility aged between 14 and 17 years.
Yeah, it stacks on the mill. They don't have placements for these young people, and only a handful of them, a small percentage of them, are what you might put in the criminal factor. Look, it's often small-time offending, and I know I've spent many years being a social worker, working in youth justice, all of that. Most of these come through for reasons that they shouldn't need to come through. If you really looked at what they did, it's for all sorts of social reasons and familial reasons that they come through the doors. Now, those three places that you've talked about, one of those places is a care and protection facility where a young woman was sexualized by a staff member. Now, I'm really peeved that they bring in the testosterone brigade. You know, Mike Bush, and now we've got the whole, you know, his police force coming in over top of these kids. You know, I know what it's like to be inside of a young woman that had received this kind of attention from somebody, particularly those ones that have put you in there. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to be seen to be talking to them. You need a much kinder, a much more open approach that is non-authoritarian, Meripika. These kids have already been through the friggin' mill, and I can't stand the likes of Takani and Davis who think they've got it down pat and know these young people. And you will always get the ignorance that go, oh, they're all friggin' criminals, Māori, dumb, criminal, lazy, you know, all of that's just racial hatred, and they do not understand the lives that these young people live and the reasons why they come through the doors.
Well, I mean to say, I have to be honest, Paora, I was absolutely gobsmacked when I heard that the former top cop in New Zealand, Mike Bush, you know, police commissioner, was going to be doing the review of these facilities. Children's prisons, and going to do the review. And actually right now he's taking charge of them all. And, you know, he'll bring that mentality. I mean, that's understandable. When you've been a police officer for all of those years, your whole thinking is to, you know, it's punitive, it's lock them up, you know, all of that sort of thing. And he's got children there now that he's going to, you tell me he's going to think differently? I doubt it. I absolutely doubt it. And I was quite appalled when I heard about his appointment. I'm not saying that he wasn't a very good police officer, not that at all. But I don't think he's good enough to go in and to have anything to do with young people who have already been damaged by the system anyway.
Look, they're the people, it's that kind of mentality that put them there. The authoritarian doesn't work with these young people. They respond differently when you approach them differently. And it's the wrong way to do things. It's the wrong approach, and it's not for the children. This is to appease the public. The public are up in arms because, again, the focus is on oranga tamariki's fuck ups, and I'm not going to pretend to use the proper language, because this is what they're doing. They're causing more harm to young people by covering their own asses. And, you know, bringing in the police is about proving to everybody in election year, 4 months out from it, that, you know, this government's got it. You know, these are young people. These are kids in kids' prisons. What are they going to do? So they got up on the roof and they caused a bit of damage. We have much more going on in society, and we have much more damage at a white collar level. These are 36, 37 young people, and just a handful of them got up on the roof. That's protest. Those are young people protesting their conditions, the way that they're being treated, and the fact that half of them want to go home. They want to be able to have contact with their family. Those sorts of things that are really fundamental to a young person. These are not adult people. They're young people. You know, the way that the mentality of the perpetrator state, and, you know, the testosterone brigade, it just appalls me. I really do. It drives me nuts that they turn table on young people, the most vulnerable kids in society, and they treat them like shit.
Well, we do. We're demonising them now, and I think because we've had ram raids and other crimes, they're starting to demonise them. I think they're, you know, and they are the children usually of the poor families, you know, mostly Māori, you know, they're just demonising them. And I heard it today from one member of parliament, and that was the leader of the ACT Party, David Seymour, saying, you know, we've got to put them in a you know, secure facility, and then think about some rehabilitation programs. I thought, what? You know, you put them in a secure facility and think about rehabilitation programs, because that seems to be the answer. That has never worked in the past. It never will. And they're still wanting to do the same old, same old.
Mr. Reheated Hamburger. Mr. Seymour needs to see less. No, I've got no faith in the likes of him. He just uses children, you know, uses the gangs, uses Māori to, you know, catapult himself amongst the privileged, because we're in a year, you know, it's a real race war on at the moment. They're going after anybody who's brown, you know, and saw it with.
Do you think because you've been, yes, no, I know what you mean. Yes, it certainly is. It's open season on, and this is because of the elections coming up, but it certainly seems to be open season on Māori in particular and Pacifica whānau. And it is, it's like that the poor are being demonised, blamed for everything. And you know, Paura, the poor didn't invent the social welfare system, which has, you know, entrenched poverty and in our country, and they didn't sell off the state houses, you know, so that everybody's now has to fight for homes in the free, you know, in the market, on the market rental space. So, you know, and you do see it. It's becoming quite ugly.
It's becoming quite ugly. Those who have state. There's money to be made in going after those people that are the most vulnerable, and utilising them as, you know, units. Fill up the prisons, fill up the children's residences. An industry of social workers that don't know how to work with Māori. People keeping their holiday homes and heading down the coast when they want to go and use them. And our people, you know, are living in cars and friggin' caravans. And it's just appalling. It's just not good at all. The person I was thinking about earlier was Kiri Tapu. I just saw her being, them going after her today too.
There certainly seems to be, actually, it certainly seems to be the season for going after Māori women, Wahine Māori, in their leadership positions.
Māori. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that's weak. That's weak when men go after women. And rich and well-to-do and want to get score some political points, go after children on roofs who are protesting their conditions. And anyone who wants to say to me, oh, well, you get that, you know, because they're all, any kid that goes in there, they've done something. Well, you need to get some education, and I'll be happy to educate you on what the real facts are, why children go into care, why children get locked up in this country. And majorly, not for criminal reasons, majorly, not for anything other than being poor and Māori.
And of course, we've got poverty now that seems to become, in the last 3 decades, so entrenched in New Zealand that, you know, but it has been the children that have been borne the brunt of that. And, you know, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is getting bigger. And I suppose, Paula, it would be true to say, would it not, that if you have nothing, then you fear nothing. And I think sometimes you see that in the young people, you know, with the ram raids, they seem to be quite fearless because they have nothing. So, you know, if you have nothing, then you don't fear anything.
Well, I'm not going to make any comment about the ram raids. If I got them, you know, I'd probably pull them by the ears and want to lock them up too. I've seen a lot of damage downtown, and some of it's just really crazy. There's no sense to it at all. But that's in the by and by. I'm not going to pair, you know, apples with oranges here tonight. Mm. I think that Calvin Davis is cowardly in his approach. I think Te Kani is all equally making this about saving the face of Oranga Tamariki, rather than caring about the needs of young people and telling the public why it is and what it is that these young boys on that roof are saying their conditions are about and why they're protesting. You know, when I hear that and I hear the balanced story, then I might have a little bit of faith in our government and our child protection system, really listening to the voices of these children when I hear their voices being as loud as you know, the likes of the most powerful in this country. And I'm talking about Minister Davis, who, that's his job, to listen to them, to make sure their voices are heard too. I haven't heard their voices heard. What I've heard is men covering their own asses, mm-hmm. and their systems and their pockets, and they're slapping each other on the back and going, come on, bro, bring in the cops, bring in the boys, we'll fix this. Yeah, weak, cowardly, and weak.
Well, I hope I'd like to think that we're going to be making some difference, but in this area, in this space. But I do believe that probably not, and certainly not in the short term, and maybe not even in the medium term either, because we don't seem to have the voices raised now as we should have. For the children, by those who should be, who have leadership positions, who should be saying, you know, here we go again. Why aren't we making some changes? You know, where are the leaders that should be speaking out? But most importantly, as you've just said, it's actually the minister. There's a minister of children. Well, he should be there to be their voice as well, not only to hear their voice, but to be their voice in making sure that we make the necessary changes. So you're right. It looks as if we've still got a hell of a long way to go.
Yeah. I've got nothing more to say, really. Mere Pika, except thanks for being on the show, you know, and giving me a chance to, you know, put one in for the kids.